Well, hello, it's me again. Welcome back. Hey, it's really good to have you. So today, as you can tell, we're going to do something just a little bit different. I am joined by some amazing women within our church. I'm going to do this a little bit slower for the interpreter, but my friend Laura, my friend, and my oldest daughter, Janelle. Sure. It's going to get bigger every time. Here we go. And then Stormy right here next to her. A little bit bigger. Nice, nice. And then here it is, the finale. My friend Tenori down here at the end. All right, there you go. See? See? No offense, Laura, but it got bigger as it went. And so here's what we're going to do today. I thought rather than me just bring a standardized type of a message, I wanted to bring a story from within our church that perhaps you would never hear unless it was presented in a way like this. So if you were with us last Sunday, at the end of the message, I spent some time intentionally talking about a particular life group within our church. It happens to be the one that I have the privilege to co-lead with my buddy Dave and, some of the guys. And so I got the opportunity to just talk about some of the story and some of the life change and some of the things that God is doing in the men inside of our church. And then as Mother's Day was approaching, God had given me this idea. Honestly, I felt really late. In my preparation, I felt like, oh man, I should be more prepared than this. But it was just about a week and a half ago that God just kind of brought to the surface of my attention this story in our church. And I thought, man, it's Mother's Day, and I feel like this is a great opportunity for us to communicate about this story. And it's around a life group that took place last fall that many of the women sitting on the platform with me participated in. Here's what I hope for you today. My hope is that their stories would elevate your faith today. Because here's what I know, it's Mother's Day, right? And so here's what we have a tendency to do, is there are people in the room that if we are not careful, you'll just tune out, all right? Maybe you're a man in the room, and you're like, yeah, whatever, I already bought the flowers, and I got the card, the preparation's there, I'm not in trouble, right? But maybe you need, right? Some of you guys are like, yeah. But maybe there's something inside of you that it's like, man, I need my faith to grow, or I'm feeling a little bit hopeless, or man, I need a miracle in my life. And I believe the story that these ladies are going to share with us today have the potential to do exactly. Is it mine? If it is, just tell me. If it is, just tell me and I'll switch, all right? But I believe their stories have the potential to elevate your faith. And so here's what we're going to do is we're going to hear from these incredible people about what God has done in their lives. And so back in the fall, this is where you guys get to speak in and correct me if I'm wrong or add the details that I may be missing. But back in the fall, there was a particular life group that started here at our church, and it was called Prayers for Pregnancy. Laura, you were initially invited into this group. Meanwhile, you were thinking, I have no idea why I'm being invited to this group, because you had noticed you are a mom. You have some incredible children, but at the time you're like, I'm not believing God to be pregnant whatsoever. No. Not at all. However, you were invited to be a part of this group. Tell us a little, give us a little bit about that story, like your initial feelings to like, why am I being invited, and how you initially got to the point where you said, okay, I'll be a part of the group.
So the group leaders approached me and they're like, we really feel like there's a lot of ladies that are struggling to become pregnant, and we feel like God's leading us to start this group, and it's a spiritual battle. This is not just something that's going on physically with all of these ladies. They're like, it's just lady after lady. We keep hearing all these stories. And so they invited me, and they're like, we just would love for you to join us. We know that you'll pray with them and believe for them. And I'm like, I've never had trouble getting pregnant. I don't want to be pregnant. I was really unsure of what I was going to contribute to this group, and I thought about it, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to go and just stand with these ladies and pray. I was like, but I'm going to make it clear, I'm not praying for pregnancy, and I don't want them to pray for pregnancy for me. I have two teenage kids, and I'm good with that. And I went to the group, and there was, I think, five or six at the initial meeting. I can't remember. And they just started sharing, and I just my heart connected and broke with them. And I realized, like, even if I've never walked in their shoes, I know what it feels like to experience loss and unanswered prayers and hoping for God to do a miracle and it not happening. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to really start, you know, pressing in. I started even looking up, like, how to encourage people, like Googling, how do you encourage people who have had miscarriages, and just so that I could understand better what they were going through. And in the process of that, I was, you know, pressing in, praying for them, and God just said, every one of these ladies in this group is going to have a child in one way or another. And I was like, okay, God, like, I don't know if that's pretty bold, and I don't know if I can really come in and say that or do that. I'm like, some of them have had multiple miscarriages, not just
So not only do you feel like God is saying this to you, but you feel God is telling you to say this to them.
Yes, to encourage them.
Okay.
And I pushed back for a little bit and just kept praying. I'm like, okay, this is scary. I don't really want to say this because what if it doesn't happen?
Right.
And I just was like, I have to be obedient. There was really no way around it. And we were at one of the meetings, and I just said, we prayed, and I said, I don't know how, but God is going to answer every single one of your prayers. God did it. I don't know. Every single one of the ladies has either had a child, is pregnant with a child, or has, and by different means. It's not even been all through natural ways, but I just have been blown away. I realized that the group, me being a part of it, was not because it was for other people. It wasn't for me. And it was for me to learn to be obedient and trust God. But that sometimes we need other people to have faith for us and believe. Because then once I heard God say that he was going to do it for these ladies, my prayer posture became so much more confident. I just was like, I know that God's going to answer every single one of your prayer. Like, there's no doubt at all. And I guess my encouragement is, if you are struggling to have faith to believe it for something that you are hoping for God to answer a prayer for you, ask some other people to come alongside you. There's a ton of people in this church that would love to come and stand in faith that you might not have for yourself. And that's kind of what my part was in it. And I'm glad I got to be a part of it. I just got to witness God doing miracles in each one of the ladies' lives. So
it's pretty amazing. So Laura and I were talking about this, her part of this story, and she was talking about how, like, if she would have just gone onto our website and, you know, clicked on groups and just read their description, she wouldn't have necessarily ever selected that group. She'd be like, that's like not me. But there were people that said, we want you to participate, because they saw something in her, and then more or less like, all right, fine, I'll participate, I'll be a part. And then her part became very critical, quite frankly, to this group, because she became the voice of faith to them. And I would imagine, I know that if it was me and I felt like God had put a word on my heart this heavily, it would have been like really scary for me to be like, I'm about to say something that is super bold to say and just hope that God actually, like, the bet's on God, not on me. I just hope God comes through. And I know that you were feeling that pressure. So it's interesting, because here's Janelle sitting right beside you, who is Lauren and I's oldest daughter. And you mentioned, Laura, there was 100% follow through with that. So Janelle, you have a piece of this story too. Give us your version as a person who was in this group believing God for pregnancy as well.
Yeah, so my story is what makes the story 100% of the group. Tomorrow I will be 7 weeks pregnant.
Yeah!
Some of you have been waiting for that announcement, and I've also been waiting to say that. I'm going to try and tell my story without giving you unnecessary detail. I am his daughter, so I tend to talk too much, so I'm going to try not to do that. So Jonathan and I were trying to get pregnant for almost a year and a half, which I know that there are plenty of women who have tried to get pregnant and taken a lot longer. But for us, I think it was a big shock just because we were so young and didn't think that anything was necessarily wrong with us or, you know, whatever. And it was definitely a difficult journey to walk through, just a lot of confusion and questions. Just kind of like, Lord, why? Like, why me? Like, you know, there's plenty of women that get pregnant and they don't even necessarily want to get pregnant. Like, why is it that, like, someone who desires to be a mother, that's not unfolding? And so I went through this season of very much like trusting in the Lord, but also experiencing great pain. I think there's a misconception that, like, by trusting in the Lord, you just don't experience pain, and that's not it. You can trust the Lord and still endure pain and heartache, but also understand that he's in it with you and that he's carrying you through it. And so that was, I think, difficult for me to learn. Like, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you, but, like, I'm just going to sit here and cry anytime I come to talk to you about it. So after, through our year and a half, after 8 months of trying, Jonathan and I did get pregnant in August of 2022. Announced it to our parents, you know, a couple of people really close to us, and then days later lost that pregnancy. And that was like a whirlwind in and of itself, because I went through the highest of highs to the lowest of lows in 3 days. And Stormy here, she has been through my whole journey with me. And so that was hard, but there was also a feeling about that pregnancy that I couldn't explain. Something about it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like the time. It didn't feel like my story. It just didn't feel real. And not in the sense like I knew I was going to have a miscarriage, but it was almost like it didn't fit in a way, and I couldn't explain why. So in 21 Days of Prayer of 2023, in January. Obviously, we're going back into 21 Days of Prayer, praying for a baby to grow our family. I felt like Jonathan was, like, finally on board. Like, for a while, it was like, yeah, we can try, but, like, wasn't fully there yet. And so I just remember us praying, and God gave me this verse in Genesis, and it said, and God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And I felt like the word that I was given was multiply for my year, that God was like, multiply. And it wasn't only in the sense of growing our family, but also like multiply in your ministry and in your, you know, your walk and just all these different ways to multiply in our lives. And so through that, I began praying for all of these kind of ridiculous little things like, oh, I want to, you know, be early on in my pregnancy in the summer so that I'm not miserable and giant and hot and whatever. Like, I was like, that just sounds terrible. I don't want that.
She is my kid. That just proved it right there.
I wanted to be pregnant on my 21st birthday, which is so ironic, but I was like, I'm not really going to drink anyways, so why not just have an excuse? I wanted to be pregnant with Stormy and a couple of women on the worship team that were also trying. I wanted to have a baby near the holidays. I wanted to be pregnant around an occasion so that it didn't feel really random when I announced it, like tried to get my family together for an announcement. I didn't want it to feel weird and everybody was going to know before I even said it. So I was like, maybe it can be around some sort of occasion. And God answered every single one of those things that I thought was so minuscule and so pointless to even ask for. So it's just been really crazy and really honoring for me to just, it's definitely been a humbling experience. Like, I asked for all of these things that I thought didn't matter, and God just showed me, like, no, they matter. and I'm going to give them to you. Something that I am still praying for is that we have opposite genders because we have an arranged marriage planned. So if you guys could pray with us, that would be great. But already in this pregnancy, there's a very different feeling than there was the last time. There's this confidence that I have that I can't explain and that I didn't have before. Just knowing that, like, this is it, and, like, I'm just going to walk in it, and refusing to fall into fear. Like, I'm not going to lead with fear. And also the things I feel like already in this that, like, God is calling me to, that things that I said, oh, I would never do that, or I'm going to do this and not that, and just really feeling like God's already stretching me and growing me in ways I didn't even think I needed or wanted to grow.
Yeah, I think, too, that for our family, and it's something that, you know, a lot of people don't know, but, like, in our family, miscarriage is, like, part of the story, and it's an unfortunate part, right? So my mom, when I was, became pregnant and was supposed to have another baby, and went far enough along in that pregnancy to know that they were going to have a girl, and then my parents found out that they had miscarried that baby, and that baby's name was... Say your name, that one.
Janelle.
So, you know, I didn't experience that pain with them. I don't know what that's like. But when Lauren and I got pregnant, we didn't have to try at all. Like, if I winked, she was like, we're having a baby. It was unbelievable. It was a little obnoxious, to be honest with you. I hear all these families talking about, like, we've been trying. I'm like, dang, man, I wish I would have had that experience. Because the guys like to try. Come on. And so... say amen if you're with me, man. All right. And so, you know, knowing that and naming Janelle in honor of what would have been our you know, little sister. This is my sister here, but what would have been our little sister was like a thing. That was a part of our story. And then, you know, for Janelle to announce, like, hey, we're having a baby, and then miscarry, it was just hard, right? It was a difficult thing for us to kind of endure and walk through. And so, here's what I noticed, that the enemy will use failure to reinforce fear in you. So for Janelle to have this sense of confidence, like, no, this one's right and this one's going to last, there's faith in that. And I think there's a message to communicate that's like, look, regardless of what's behind you and regardless of how many times things haven't gone your way, it doesn't mean that God isn't going to follow through and still answer, like, the deepest cry of your heart. And so from, like, the context of our family, it's like, man, that's something that we're in this faith battle too. They're like, man, we're believing for that, not the other, right? And so it really has power to it. Now, Stormy, you're unique because whereas Jonathan and Janelle, you know, they naturally conceive a baby, you and Taylor's story is unique to that. So tell us a little about your journey and where you guys are at in your pregnancy story.
Yeah. So next week I'm celebrating 4 years of marriage with my husband, Taylor. And I knew right away I wanted to have a baby. We're very blessed. I have a 12-year-old son. He'll be 12 in October, Easton. And Taylor's stepdad. So... of course, with Easton, it was like that. No issues. He came very quickly. So I'm thinking the same thing with Taylor. We're going to have a baby, and it's going to be a piece of cake. Well, fast forward 3 years later, and it's not happening for us. And it was a big prayer that I want to grow my family, and I didn't know what that was going to look like. And so we started making doctor's appointments, and I wanted to get some answers. And it turns out that we were going to need help. After doing some tests, they found that I would have to have a procedure to remove both of my fallopian tubes because they were so badly damaged. And that was the cause of what my infertility was medically. That was the cause. So there was a lot of prayer after that too, because knowing that to get pregnant, the only option would be IVF, that terrified me. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do something invasive like that. And I remember we went to this worship concert, and I'm a very literal person, and there was a moment, and I'm talking with God during this worship service, and I'm like, God, if this is your plan for us, if this is what you want me to do, I need you to tell me. I need you to give me a clear picture. And it was minutes later, one of the singers kind of stops at the beginning of this next song they're going to, and she's like, I just feel this in my spirit. I need to say it to the barren woman. You are in a season of waiting, but he sees you, and he is going to answer your prayer. And then the next song they played is a song that has been an anthem for me, Wait on You by Maverick City. And I see the scripture, it's Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew in their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that was my answer. I'm like, oh, yes, finally. Like, that's the most yes I've gotten out of an answer from God. I'm like, that's it. Okay, we're doing this. So I went forward and had the procedure. And after that, I think before that, rather, I had to do my egg retrieval, and that went really successful. That was really smooth. We ended up retrieving 8 embryos, which was great. That was more than I was anticipating, and the surgery went really smoothly, but there were even hiccups along this entire time, too. Like, my surgeon left the practice. Like, all these little things that I kept getting discouraged, and this is where this life group came into play and was so, so important, because things like this can feel so isolating and you feel so, so alone. And then to come to find out that there are other women going through similar struggles, and they're just believing with you in faith and they're praying over you, and that encouragement meant everything to me. And so my surgery was in December. Our embryo transfer was in February. February 16th, and it was successful on the first try, and so we're 15 weeks pregnant yesterday. Yeah. We don't know what we're having yet, Janelle, but I think it's going to be a boy, so you have to have a girl. And I think a big thing for me that the Lord really revealed to me is to be vulnerable. That was something that helped me in this season, was to be open and to share and to be bold and say, this is what I am going through and you are not alone. And I asked for God to grow my family, and he not only did it by giving me a baby, but he gave me a ton of sisters to rally around me and a church family that I know was praying with us the whole time too. So we're just really appreciative of that.
Yeah, it's a powerful story of just connection, right? And I think that I often say this, that the best part of a group in my mind is when you recognize, like, oh, I'm not the only one. To me, that's the power. Like, oh, you too? Like, you're struggling, or you've been there, or you get it because it's similar. And I think for you guys, because I knew your husband apart from you. I knew you apart from your husband. I got to actually stand in front of you guys and marry you guys, which was pretty awesome. And I'm praying, by the way, the baby looks like you. I'm just kidding. I love you, man. I love you. But the power of community and what that really can mean, because it is easy for the enemy to isolate us. Like, no, it's just you, and nobody will understand. And if you're vulnerable about your scars or your pain or your struggles or where your faith is, and you know, you feel like as a follower of Jesus, it should be here, but it's really in the pit, you know, whatever it is. Like, there's so much that can come from community and just recognizing when other people be like, no, I get it. No, yeah, I know. You know, and to me, like, that's, there's power and there's strength in that. And then for God, the way that he answered y'all's prayer, the procedures and the expense and the, you know, the hoops that had to be quote unquote jumped through for you guys to be here. It's a powerful testimony in and of itself. To Nori, on the other hand, we've been friends for close to, I don't know, 10 years or so, and Lauren and I were invited very early. I felt like we were kind of these special guests into your story with Pastor Aldrich and y'all's infertility struggles years ago, long before you were in St. Augustine and long before you guys were part of Church on the Rock. And so for years, we had been in this belief with you and this prayer with you about God giving you two children. And he should, by the way, because they're unbelievable parents. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I watch them parent, and I'm like, gosh, man, I wish they'd have started first so I could have learned parental things from them and done it in my household. But your story is unique to them all, because my joke is that you guys asked for a baby, and God practically gave you triplets. And so, like, please tell us your journey and your story to motherhood and what that was like.
When me and Aldrich got married, we actually decided that we were going to wait a little bit before we tried to have kids. We were going to just be us for a while, and then we were going to start trying. Once we started trying, we assumed, just like you guys, that it was going to be, we're going to start trying, and next month we're going to be pregnant. But of course, it didn't happen that way. So after about a year or so of just trying on our own, we did go to some fertility doctors and get treatments and things like that. And our diagnosis was unexplained infertility, meaning that there was no reason for reason for either one of us for us to not be having be pregnant. So we kept trying for about 7 years was our infertility journey, and then in 21 days of prayer in 2020. One of the things that I got throughout this journey, one of the things that my mentors and my friends and the spiritual people that I was just around kept telling me, was to trust God's timing. That when this happens, it's going to be in the perfect time, and you're going to understand why you had to wait so long. And the verse that I got pretty early on was 1 Samuel 1:20, was about Hannah's prayer when she went to the priest and she prayed to get pregnant with Samuel, and she prayed so hard that the priest thought that she was drunk because she was crying out to the Lord. And she had this prayer, and then the next verse says that in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. So with me, it was that it was not necessarily going to be immediate. It was going to be in the course of time, in the right time. So 21 days of prayer, 2020, one of my mentors' friend came up to me, and she told me about a dream that she had had, a very specific dream about us being handed a baby. And that would have been January. In May, we got a call asking us to sort of foster a baby for a week for a mom who was trying to decide if she wanted to adopt, if she wanted to do the gift of adoption. So we said, yes, of course, we'll foster him, we'll keep him. And that was 3 years ago. And he's still with us. He's our baby now. He's adopted. But while we were fostering him, we were also connected with a wonderful couple who had been fostering twin three-year-olds, and they knew that the kids were going to need a forever family, and they wanted to help find that forever family. They didn't want them to just get put back in the system. They wanted to help find the forever family. And so we started fostering them, and we knew that we were going to be able to adopt them as well. So we tried for 7 years. We didn't nothing was happening. By 2020, we had one, and then by 2021, we had three. And they're all wonderful.
You know, the miracles in your story are pretty incredible, too, because you guys were sought out as parents in both scenarios. When you fostered and ultimately adopted the twins, that was through the state, mm-hmm. which should be arduous and long and all kinds of tape cutting and hoops of fire and all this kind of stuff. But God did this incredible thing, right, where the process was so quick.
Right, it was so quick. They moved in with us in April. We were fully adopted. Everything was completed by December, which is very quick for the state.
What would the typical timeline, I know it's a guess, but about what do you know that it to be?
It could be years, honestly. We know people who have waited years to adopt children that were in their household. Yeah.
So here we have these incredible women with these incredible testimony stories. And here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that we as followers of Jesus overcome by the blood of the Lamb, like the blood of Jesus Christ that removes our sin from us, right? Puts us in right standing with him. We overcome by that, and we overcome by the word of our testimony. And what we're hearing is the testimony of these women who, I can only imagine the amount of pain, tears, questions, hopeless moments, nights, seasons, whatever, that you all kind of wrestled with. And then here all of you are, you have this story. And Laura, yours, again, you're already a mother. You weren't trying to be a mother again, but even the story of God put such an overwhelming word that it was, I know how it feels, because there have been times where it's like, if I don't do this, that is disobedience, right? And so I need to follow through on this. And then the response of that, here's what I would love to ask each of you quickly. What would you say to any listener? What would you say that they could take from your story? If there's one thing that you said, hey, this is what I would want you to have from my story, what would that be? In any order.
I would say that in your waiting, it's okay to not be okay. I was told so many times whenever I finally got vulnerable enough to talk about our struggle, so many times being told, you know, have more faith, it's all going to work out, it's all going to be fine, and people trying to make me feel like I should just be okay and just go with the flow. And it's like, no, I'm moving with the flow, but I am allowed to cry in my corner.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a season of waiting, don't feel like you have to have it all together and you have to be, you know, done up and, you know, whatever. And everything should be great and you should be happy because, you know, God's with you and it's going to be great. Because it's not always that way. It is okay to be down and to let people know that you are down, because chances are the people around you are probably up and can carry you with them.
I would say one thing that the enemy tries to do for people who are having this struggle, specifically for people who are having this struggle for a long time, is that he tries to use this to attack your marriage. Aldridge and I were very intentional about making sure that our marriage was strong through this journey. We know people who didn't, who didn't have a strong marriage, and it can tear you down. It can break it apart. So to not only focus on the waiting and the infertility and the struggle, but also focus on keeping your marriage strong. Because it's still, I mean, it's going to be the two of you together. Even after the children leave, it's going to be the two of you. So.
I think that for me, it would be lean on the Lord for whatever it is you're believing in your season of waiting. It could be a promotion at work. It could be you're waiting for a relationship to be healed. It could be results on a test that you're waiting on from a doctor, whatever that looks like. Really just press into the Holy Spirit and lean on God, because he has good plans for you, and just trusting in him and in his time, because his plan is plan A, and he's always has your best at heart.
I guess my encouragement would be, don't count yourself out or count God out. If you feel like he is directing you or calling you to do something, just be obedient, have faith. And I guess I learned that the group wasn't really for me, but I got a ton out of it. And each person has something to contribute, and you being a part of community and a part of a group is significant, whether you feel like it or not. God can use you to encourage other people, and so just have faith that he is calling you and then be obedient to do it.
Ladies, thank you for your willingness to be up here and be vulnerable. I know it's not the easiest thing to do or talk about. It's a little easier on the answered prayer side, but to be open about the struggle and what that journey is like, I think that's where the, quite frankly, the power of your testimony is today, because there's, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you hope to be a parent or not, regardless of your age or season of life, you can resonate with struggle, fear, concern. You can resonate with wonder and like, God, are you even there? Or is any of this even matter? That's where the connection point is for us. Out of these stories, I feel like there's so much that we can grab hold of. This was not some shameless plug for groups, though I will shamelessly plug life groups because of what they have the potential to do for you. Like, I am unapologetic about that. So, like, if you're not genuinely and authentically connected in community, you should be, because you're missing out if you aren't. But there's so much that we can pull and teach from this, because, like, Laura is an example. Just one thing that can be talked about from her is just the power of prophecy. Like, that's a thing. It's a Bible thing. And I love what one of my favorite preachers, I heard him say this one time, probably 15 years ago. And here's what he said. If you want Bible results, then you have to do Bible stuff. That's exactly how he said it. And I've clung onto that. Like, okay, if I want Bible results, then I should do Bible stuff. And Laura having the boldness to just speak a word of prophecy, something that is to come out of the obedience of her heart before the Lord, then resulted in ladies who were willing to lean into God for what they were doing. We see Janelle gets the answer to prayer ultimately through natural pregnancy. But I can only imagine the emotion. Well, I mean, I can't imagine it fully, but I got to participate in it as her father, right? Like the emotional high and low of like, hey, we're pregnant. Ah, man, not anymore, right? And then to walk through that and then now be on the side of like, hey, we're pregnant, yay, you know, and to have that faith to say like, but this one's right. This is what God wants. This is his timing. For Taylor and Stormy to have experienced like a unique method to pregnancy and the way that God has responded to your prayer, and then furthermore to Nori and Aldrich, who their story is even more uniquely different. So the point of today is this, that you find yourself somewhere in their story and say, that's me there. I'm where she described. I'm in the place when she said that resonated, that connected with me. And so the way that I want us to end our service today is to get some Bible results. I'd like to do some Bible stuff, you know? Let me read something. Won't be on the screen. It's in this book. All right, I'm going to Google it. I'm in the right book of the Bible, but I'm in the wrong chapter. No, I'm not. Here's what the Bible says. This is James chapter 14. There are not 14 chapters in James. This is James chapter 5, verse 14. And we can be confident. Listen now to the word of God. We can be confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him for anything in line with his will. I had to make sure the next verse went with it. And if we know he is listening when we make our requests, we can be, listen to it, sure that he will give us what we ask for. I want today to elevate your faith. And I want those of you in this room right now or tuning in online that are desperate for God to do something in your life, to have the opportunity to call on him to do that. So I want to invite everybody all across the auditorium, if you would go ahead and stand all across this room, because what we're going to do right now is end our service a little bit differently. We have some fun stuff, by the way. So when you walk out of this auditorium today, if you're not tuning in online, we have a Mother's Day photo booth outside. We also have one on the Camp Rock Kids campus. We have them in both locations. You can get them, you can take Mother's Day pictures in both places if you want, or choose your location. We have a gift for you today. So if you're a mom and you say, man, like, I want to celebrate, we have something for you as you leave. For some of you, ladies, you're believing to be a mom, take that gift by faith today, would you? Make it something you can hold and touch and cling to for God to respond to your prayer. If you've been a spiritual mother, you never had naturally given birth to children, but you've mothered women, that gift is for you. You get to choose if that gift is for you, and I encourage you to take it. All right, so know that. When we walk out of this room, we're going to celebrate. There's fun. We're going to honor moms. We're going to end this service today being obedient to God's word. We're going to end this service calling on him for miracles. So I'm going to invite all of these ladies. They're going to make their way down to the front. I'm going to invite our prayer partners to make their way down to the front. And here's what's about to happen. Listen, it's like an old-fashioned altar call at Church on the Rock this morning. And these ladies are going to make their way proportionately across the front of the auditorium. We're also going to invite some prayer partners to join them, because there are some of you in this room need a miracle. That's what you need. And what you need to do is stretch your faith this morning, not just by asking God, but by stepping out and connecting with someone else relationally and pairing your faith with theirs. Here's what I believe. You can call me crazy if you want to, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. But here's what I believe. I believe that there is a transference that happens in the spiritual realm at times. I believe, yeah, go ahead, y'all just spread, make your way across. I believe that there is an anointing on these women as they pray for you, that it will connect to your story and your scenario. Is that making sense to everyone? And so I've asked Aaron, just by himself, him and those keys and his voice, to usher us into an atmosphere that is prayerful. And I would just encourage you to stick around, even if you're not coming to receive prayer. But if you are, I would encourage you to make your way to the front even right now. Like, step out of those aisles and start making your way. Walk out of that balcony, down those stairs, through these doors, and start connecting with someone who can pray with you. We're going to turn this room into an atmosphere of prayer for the next several minutes. And we're going to begin to call on God to do what God only can do. Because listen to me very carefully. If you want Bible results, do Bible stuff. So come forward and let's pray together. Aaron, go ahead. I know these aren't the only people that need a miracle. I know it. And some of you, Aaron, you can go. But some of you, you are holding back. Maybe this is not the church atmosphere you're accustomed to. You're holding back, and God wants to do something significant in your story. Maybe you're in this room and you feel like, well, this is a little weird. This is a little odd. This isn't weird. This is powerful. This is the hand of the living God that wants to move in your story. And I would encourage you to make your way down toward the front. Man or woman, it doesn't matter. Any age, any story, any... And receive prayer. Create lines behind these people so that we can pray by faith for God to answer your prayer in your season, in your story. We worship you, Father.
Why do I talk myself out of seeing me? You are more than able. do. Now I see all that I have, and I've got my confidence back, and I put my trust in one who still does miracles. You do miracles. You are more than able. You are more than able.
Down front prayer is taking place, and I want that to continue. I want that to continue. But as we get prepared to officially end this service, I'm going to share a very, very quick story. The other day I was listening to a podcast. I was watching it, actually. And I heard a story of a man who walked into a church like ours, and he said he had never been in an atmosphere like that before. And he was really, really far from God, but desperate. Desperate. The only reason he came in was the hope that maybe just maybe, there was something real that would happen in there. And he said that as he walked in and the service began and they began singing worship songs, he began to feel something that he couldn't describe. And as the pastor began to give the message, he says that he was clinging to every single word. Said that he spoke for an hour and he didn't want him to finish. He said at the very end, they had a moment like this, a time of prayer. And he said he couldn't help himself. He was compelled to make it to the front and just ask for prayer. And he said after being prayed for by someone that was very kind and very caring, he made his way right back to his seat and he sat overwhelmed with emotion. He began to weep. And here was his story. He said, that was 14 years ago and I still can't explain what I felt in that room. I just knew it was the power of the living God and it changed my life forever. And that was the day that he put his faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of his sin and he entered into a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And he said, and here I am 14 years later and it's like I can't stop telling my story because what I connected to was actual truth. I had no idea how I was going to end today at all until God reminded me of that story. And here's what I thought. I thought, I just wonder if somebody came into this church today and you're having a really similar experience and something's going on. And you're like, I can't explain it except that it must be true. And here's what I would say with all the confidence that I have, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through him. And so if that's you, whether you're in this room, tuning in online, I would just love to invite you to enter into a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, today. And so everybody, if you're a part of our church, you kind of know how we do this. I'm just going to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if that's you, might be one, might be 12. But if that's you and you say, yeah, I'm exactly that. That's exactly the experience that I'm having. Would you just be really bold? Would you just raise your hand for me? Can I just see who you are? Okay. All right, I see a couple of hands. Let me tell you something. It was all for you. This is worth it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me, and I want you to know something. I'm going to take my time here. I want you to know something. There is nothing special about these words. Here's what's special. Here's what matters. What's happening inside your heart right now. It's eternal. It's meaningful. It will last forever. All I'm doing is guiding you with words to express what your heart has already understood, and that is Jesus is Lord. And so church family, you know how we do it? We always ask everybody. Everybody in the room, say it out loud with me. And the reason is we want you, those of you that raised your hands, we want you to be able to say it for the very first time with boldness and with confidence. This is your moment. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Hey, congratulations to those of you that raised your hand today. I believe that you have a brand new hope for eternity. Listen, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for praying with us today. Thank you for elevating your faith today. We wish you the warmest and best Mother's Day today. Love you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.